Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, The Prahlad Learned in the Womb, text number 37. Adoksha Jalambam Ah Iha Shubatmanaha. Sharirina Samsmriti Chakra Shatanam. Tad Brahma Nirvana Stuka Vidur Buddhas. Tato Bhajatvam Hridaye Rid Ishvaraham. Adokshaja, with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is beyond the reach of the materialistic mind or experimental knowledge. Alambanam, alambam, being constantly in contact. Iha, in this world. Ashubha Atmanaha, whose mind is materially contaminated. Sharirina, of a living entity who has accepted a material body. Samsmriti, of material existence. Chakra, the cycle. Shatanam, completely stopping. Tat, that. Brahmanirvanam, connected with the Supreme Brahman, the Absolute Truth. Sukham, transcendental happiness. Vidu, understand. Buddha, those who are spiritually advanced. Tata, therefore. Bhajatvam, engage in devotional service. Hridaye, within the core of the heart. Rit Ishvaram, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Super Soul within the heart. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshipping the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Purport. Generally, it is understood that by merging into the existence of Brahman, the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth, one becomes completely happy. The words Brahman, Brahma Nirvana refer to connecting with the Absolute Truth, who is realized in three features. Brahmeti, Paramatmeti, Bhagavan Iti, Shabdiyate. One feels Brahma, Sukha, spiritual happiness, by merging into the impersonal Brahman, because the Brahma Jyoti is the effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yasya Prabha Prabhavito Jagadanda Koti. Yasya Prabha, the impersonal Brahman consists of the rays of Krishna's transcendental body. Therefore, whatever transcendental bliss one feels from merging in Brahman is due to contact with Krishna. Contact with Krishna is perfect Brahma Sukha. When the mind is in touch with the impersonal Brahman, one becomes satisfied. One must advance further to render service to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one, remaining merged in the Brahman effulgence is not always assured. It is said, Arodhya Krishna Param Padam Dada Patant Yada Yado Nadrit Patant Yado Ton Nadrita Yushmarangraha. One may merge in the Brahman feature of the Absolute Truth, but there is a chance that one may fall down because of not being acquainted with Adokshaja or Vasudeva. Of course, such Brahmasukha undoubtedly eliminates material happiness, but when one advances through impersonal Brahman and localized Paramatma to approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead in relationship with Him as a servant, friend, parent, or a conjugal lover, one's happiness becomes all-pervading. One automatically feels transcendental bliss, just as one becomes happy seeing the shining of the moon. One acquires natural happiness upon seeing the moon, but when one can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one's transcendental happiness increases hundreds of thousands of times. As soon as one is very intimately connected with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, one surely becomes free from all material contamination. Ya nirvritis tanu britam. This succession of all material happiness is called nirvritti or nirvana. Srila Rupa Goswami says in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1138, Brahmande, Brahmanando bhavat esha, Chet parabda parada gunikritaha naiti bhakti sukham bodhe paramanu tulyam api. If Brahmananda, the bliss emerging in the Brahman effulgence, were multiplied 100 trillion times, that's a fairly big number, one would still not equal even an atomic fraction of the ocean of transcendental bliss felt in devotional service. Brahma Buddha Prasanatma Nasoshiti Nakankshiti Sarvak Sarveshu Madbhak Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhatepuram. One who is transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed toward all living entities. In that state he attains pure devotional service unto the Lord. If one advances further from the Brahma-Naran platform, one enters the stage of devotional service. Mad-bhaktim labhate param. The words adoksha-jalambam refers to keeping the mind always engaged in the Absolute Truth, who is beyond the mind and the material speculation. Savai manakrishna padara vindayo. This is the result of deity worship. By constantly engaging in the service of the Lord and thinking of His lotus feet, one is automatically freed from all material contamination. Thus the words Brahma Nirvana Sukham indicates that when one is in touch with the Absolute Truth, material sense gratification is completely nullified. So, translation. The real problem of life is the repetition of birth and death, which is like a wheel rolling repeatedly up and down. This wheel, however, completely stops when one is in touch with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, by the transcendental bliss realized from constant engagement in devotional service, one is completely liberated from material existence. All learned men know this. Therefore, my dear friends, O son of the Asuras, immediately begin meditating upon and worshiping the Supreme Lord within the Super Soul within everyone's heart. Our philosophy is rather straightforward. If you meditate, if you become Krishna conscious, if we become Krishna conscious, then we'll no longer have to see repeated birth and death. And if we don't, then we'll see repeated birth and death. Now, in the Nectar of Instruction, Rupa Goswami says that we should understand where we are in devotional service, so we can know where to go. If we don't know where we are, we won't know what's up and what's down. Or we may think, up is so far away, I might as well forget about it. Just like if we ask you to somehow or another touch the roof. Now you can get a ladder or something, or a chair, and you may be able to touch the ceiling here. But if you think, if I tell you, you should touch the top of the building while you're inside this building, you may become a little discouraged. But touching the wall or touching the ceiling here is not impossible with a certain adjustment, certain help. Similarly, we think all the goal is love of God, Krishna Prema, and right now I'm just struggling to get my rounds done, 16 rounds every day, hopefully. Then we may think, oh, this is too difficult. I might as well give up. Material life is a lot easier. It's right in front of me. Well, pure devotional service is far, far away. I don't know how many lifetimes I'd have to practice devotional service to even come to the platform of anartha-nivritti. So we have to understand what we have to understand one step at a time so that we can make a little progress. As it says, machita machkata prana bodhyantas parashparam katayantas shamam nityam tu shanti charamanti cha. That the thoughts of my pure devotees, they dwell in me and their lives are surrendered to me. In other words, we're trying to engage a little bit more every day in Krishna's service and think about Krishna a little bit more and a little bit more deeply. That's all we can do. That is, engage our prana, our life, and our citta, our consciousness, in Krishna's service. On the other hand, there are two stages of that engagement. One is called tushanti. There is satisfaction, and that satisfaction is by making little progress every day. Because if we make a little progress, then we know eventually we'll get to the goal, which is ramante, always feeling transcendental pleasure in association with Krishna. Just like we want to go from here to, say, the Hungarian farm. So on the way there, if we have a map, we can see that there are different signposts along the way. I think Maribor is on the way to the Hungarian farm. Now, if we're driving in our car and we see a sign for Vienna, then we might have to change direction. Or we see a sign from Maribor, 10 kilometers and 9 kilometers and 8, and then we see 350 kilometers to Maribor. Then we know we probably took a wrong turn. So we have to see the different signposts, and as long as we're making progress, then we'll become encouraged. Eventually I'll get there. Therefore, in Madhurya Kandambini by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, he gives us many signposts. Matter of fact, the first 19 chapters of the Nectar of Devotion are just all signposts. Where are we in devotional service, and what's the next step? Adau, Shada, Sita, Sada, Sangha, Tya, Bhajana, Kriya. In general, in the beginning there's faith, association with devotees. Then there is the practice of devotional service. Then there is getting free from anarthas, then steadiness, then taste, then attachment, then feeling or bhava, and then love. And then progressively there's advancement after that. So we should see, generally those who are here right now, they're practicing bhajana kriya. So we have to understand what is the difference between anishtita bhajana kriya and anartha nivritti and nishta. So we can see where we are and what we have to work on. As I said yesterday, in bhajana kriya, in the beginning there's different stages. Utsaha mayi, ganar tarala, vishaya sangara, vyuda vikalpa, Karana Niyama Kshama and Taranga Rangini. So we should know these things. Otherwise, we just watch our minds and we get discouraged. Oh, I can't control my mind. My mind's coming here and there. And I'm doing this and I'm doing that. So we should be able to see what's the problem. What problem, what's the stage we're at, so we can work on it. Are we puffed up with enthusiasm because we think we're God's gift to the Hare Krishna movement, and we're so more, you know, we're enthusiastic and everyone else seems to be morose in comparison to me? Are we unsteady in our service, sometimes very enthusiastic and sometimes depressed? Are we on the stage where we're in war against sense gratification, trying to give up our material desires and falling victim to them, sometimes feeling renounced and sometimes becoming absorbed in sense gratification? Or are we at the stage where we're excessively speculating whether I should renounce everything, go to Vrindavan, or I should become a householder and try to work in Krishna consciousness and family life, etc., never reaching any conclusion? Or am I trying to increase my devotional service, improve it, make it more steady, and I'm always falling victim of the fact that I'm unsteady? Or am I come to a platform of steadiness and somewhat renunciation, and at the same time I'm actually becoming attached to the praise and to the facilities given to me as a result of my relatively more advanced devotional service? So this is all within the stage of anicchitta, bhajana kriya, unsteady devotional service. So we should see if something there, what I just said, we can identify with. We think, well, that's not me, I'm way beyond that. Then we better read the Madhurya Kandambini again. We may not be so far beyond. And then in Nishtita Vajna Kriya, Anartha and Vritti, there are also four kinds of anarthas. Anarthas arising out of previous pious activities, anarthas arising out of previous sinful activities, anarthas rising from devotional service imperfectly performed, or anarthas resulting out of aparads, especially namaparad. So we should see how much I'm committing namaparad. And we have the obstacles towards nishto, which are undoubtedly produce aparads, namaparad, especially inattentiveness. Does anyone know what the five obstacles towards obtaining nishtha are?
Nishtha puja.
That's a good guess. According to Śrīla Bhaktivinoda Thakur, those are anarthas. But the obstacles, laya, vikshepa, aprapati, and rasavad and shaya. You know what they mean? Laya? Sleepiness. Just like sometimes we look around, we see different degrees of sleepiness. So that's called laya. You can't. Rounds chanted in your dreams don't count towards 16 rounds. You can't say, well, I was sleeping during class, but during my dream I was studying the Bhagavatam very attentively. No, that probably won't. That would be nice if you can do that. Then you should give class how to do that. So when everyone else falls asleep, at least they'll study the Bhagavatam. So that's called laya. And then there we have, Vikshepa. Vikshepa is talking about or thinking about mundane nonsense during devotional activities such as hearing or chanting. Jibber japa. You've heard of jibber japa? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Hey, how's the weather today? Ram, 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 Ram. Did you hear about this problem? No. Ram, 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 Ram. It's called jibber japper. Thinking about or talking about mundane things while engaged in devotional service, such as hearing and chanting. And apratipati means that I'm not sleepy. I'm not engaged in mundane conversation. But I'm not interested in devotional service either. I'm not interested in hearing and chanting. I'm bored. I need something to excite me. And then shy is the tendency to display such faults as anger, greed, and arrogance during devotional activities. So, getting angry, Prabhu, why are you chanting around? Sir! Listen to me. Do you know who I am? No, who are you? I don't know. Actually, that's a good question. Never thought about that. And there, rasavada means that the mind is so attached to sense pleasure, often meditating on it, that one is able to hear and chant with concentration. So as I said yesterday, that as we chant Hare Krishna, then we become more attentive. If we're trying to become more attentive, then it's very good. Then we wake up a little bit. But if we start becoming attentive, and then we start meditating on undesirable things, then the result is we become more attached to the undesirable things because of our chanting, because we're able to concentrate on those with more attention. And therefore, instead of purifying us, it helps grow the weeds. Inattentive chanting, when meditating on the objects of the senses, help grow the weeds of material attachment. So these are five things. So what are the five things? What are one of them, Manaji? No. Okay, what is Radha? What are one of the five things?
I'm sorry.
Don't be sorry.
I will go.
You mean because I ask you a question, you're fleeing?
I'm sorry.
Anandavardhana, what are one of the five things I mentioned? The five obstacles towards nishtha, steadiness. We'll ask someone who probably knows. Ananta Prabhu.
Laya?
Yeah.
Which is?
Which is sleepiness.
Sleepiness. Okay.
Including the performing of service.
Arukram.
Urugai.
What's that?
You are performing devotional service, but doing
meditating on material things. Rasava, having a taste for material things.
No, I mean this
Vikshepa. Chanting devotional, chanting the names, but thinking about mundane nonsense. What's the difference between that and Rasava? Yeah, rasava means you have a taste for sense gratification.
Yeah.
Well, vikshepa, you're just thinking about nonsense all the time. Doesn't necessarily have to be sense gratification. Could be remembering, you know, Bugs Bunny cartoon or something while you're chanting.
What's the
difference? Well, one is you become Romeo in some kind of, you know, play. The other is just watching some stupid movie in your mind. One is a little bit more intense than the other, usually. Most people watching Bugs Bunny don't get too excited about it. It's just some distraction. The Vikshepa means distraction. Or the Rasava means absorption, sense gratification. What are the other three? Or two? What does apratipa pati mean?
Disinterest.
Yeah, disinterest. In the absence of sleepiness, you're awake. You got 23 hours of sleep last night. You're pretty much awake. And you're not interested in some stupid, you know, thoughts. But you're not interested in devotional service either. It is one of the things you're not interested in. And then we have, so there's laya, there's vikshepa, there's apratipati, and then there is? What's that? No, that's something different.
Displaying faults.
What's that?
Displaying anger.
Yes. What is that called?
Kashaya.
So we have laya, we have vikshepa, apratipati, shaya, and we have rasava. So these are obstacles to obtaining nishta. Now, just to go over, because we don't have time for it. We should learn these things. We can't remember these things. What are we doing when we're chanting? We're just watching our mind wherever we go. Yeah, that's all right. I went there. Oh, yeah, I know. I went there. Wow, that's amazing. There's so many places for the mind to go. We should be able to identify it. Now I'm sleeping. Wake up. Don't tell me I'm asleep. Of course you were asleep. But what's wrong with sleeping? I'm tired. So we have to understand when we're experiencing these things, when we're confronted with it. If we don't remember these, laya, vikshepa, apratipati, shaya, rasava, then how are we going to be able to identify when we're actually absorbed in these things? And how are we going to get out of them if we think they're perfectly normal part of my existence, that there's nothing wrong with them? Now, without going into this is just a bonus. This is a analyzation of the different stages. Of course, I didn't go over. There are different stages of reducing of an artist. When it's called Eka Desha Vartini. Eka Desha Vartini. Partially Bahu Desha Vartini. Substantially Pratiki. Almost completely. Purna completely. And Adyantiki. Absolutely thoroughly. So we may have every day we may sit down chanting japa, and it's a struggle. Same thoughts come, or same laya comes, same vikshepa comes. Same apratipati comes, same shaya comes, same rasava comes every day. But as one becomes purified, then these things diminish. If we make an effort and Krishna purifies us, then the result is that gradually it goes from ekadesha, the removal in arthas, to bahudesha vartani, substantially, to pratiki, almost completely, to purna, completely, to adyantiki, as we advance in devotional service. So we shouldn't think, forever I'm going to be on the same level of fighting my mind. Piyuta vikalpa, or the same stage of vishaya sangara, war against sense gratification, that there will be progress if we make an effort, if we understand things properly, and make the right choices. It's a question of making the right choice. Some thought comes, I'm chanting, I'm trying to listen, some thought comes from my mind. Is it devotional or is it material? So we should be able to recognize it. So the many anarthas stemming from aparads were partially destroyed in the final stages of Bhajana Kriya. Rendering devotional service under the guidance of a spiritual master, this is known as Ekadesha Vartanamini. So we come to the stage of Taranga Rangini, the final stages of Bhajana Kriya. Then many of the anarthas are destroyed. We can pay attention a little bit. When Bhajana Kriya gains maturity and turns into nishtha or steadiness after anartha nivritti, because Bhajana Kriya means anishtita Bhajana Kriya and nishtha and anartha nivritti, those are all stages within Bhajana Kriya, then it turns into nishtha, steadiness and devotional service. In this stage of development, the mitigation of anarthas is substantial. Bahu desha vartani. So if we're having some difficulty, we're thinking that this state of anarthana, if we make an effort, and even find within our effort, still we have a lot of things, a long way to go. It's not as easy as I thought. It seems like Bhajana Kriya, doing it steadily, because first of all we have to do it steadily. Otherwise, there's no question of practicing. If we're being distracted by, then we won't perform steady devotional service, regular devotional service. And when we do perform devotional service, then we have to take out the weeds, especially the weeds of laya, shapa, vikshepa, apratipati, shaya, and rasava. We have to take these things out, these obstacles. And then, at that stage, bahu desha vardhane. Then, substantially our distractions, our material tastes, these will be eliminated. Devotional service becomes, at that stage, steady. One is not distracted. On the platform of rati, attraction, which is up to the stage of bhava, the unwanted desires in the heart are almost completely absolved. Pratyiki. So there's no distraction whatsoever, prati whatsoever. And with the awakening of prema or divine love, these anarthas are completely removed. Purna. So we shouldn't be discouraged. Oh my God, I thought of something distracting me from devotional service today. I must not be making any progress. No, even at the stage of bhava, there may be some thoughts which are distracting, but one does not absorb, one doesn't become distracted by them, that's all. Finally, the anarthas are completely uprooted, adyantiki, when the devotee receives the mercy and shelter of the Lord's lotus feet. In other words, when Krishna appears before one, then all the anarthas are completely uprooted. It may take a little while before Krishna decides to visit us, so we may have to tolerate the fact that we're not absolutely pure devotees yet. And then there's just a little summary. When the materialistic aspect of ahanta, which is ahamkar, and mamata, which means this is mine, is extremely deep, one remains in the cycle of birth and death. You might know someone who's has that situation. They're completely convinced that they are their body and everything they have belongs to them. And everything you have should also belong to them. When the causeless particle of faith develops and one thinks of becoming a Vaishnava and serving the Lord, ahanta and mamata become slightly spiritualized. Ganda. Ganda means a little aroma. And the jiva becomes qualified for devotional service. So even a little aroma of devotional service makes one qualified. A little aroma of faith. At the stage of sadhu sangha, this tinge of spiritualization becomes more concrete. Sundara ganda. Material attachment is still deep. Adyantike. So those who associate with devotees, there's a little bit of spiritualization, but still very deep material attachment. The state of anartha, of anishtita vajna kriya, spiritualization is localized, especially when performing devotional activities or sadhana, eka desha vartani, whereas the material aspect is in full force. Outside of our service, we're still in the material concept of life, and when we're not engaged in devotional activities, then we're fully absorbed in material existence. At the stage of nishta, spiritualization becomes more pervasive, bahu desha vartani, and the materialistic influence decreases somewhat, pratiki. So even at the stage of nishta, one throughout the day, one is still in Krishna consciousness, but still one is still in somewhat the material concept of life to some degree or another. When it realizes that material life is a dream, but one is also living the dream and somewhat identifying oneself with it. The state of ruchi, spiritualization of me and mine becomes dominant. So then when is experiencing taste, when the senses are purified, then one doesn't really identify with the dream anymore, and the materialistic aspect becomes localized. So sometime under some circumstances, one is still in somewhat of a material consciousness. The state of asakti, the spiritual aspect becomes complete, purna, and the materialistic aspect becomes a trace. So materialistic existence becomes like not to take seriously. The mind may deviate for a moment from Krishna consciousness, but it rapidly comes back to think about Krishna again. At the stage of bhava, the spiritual aspect becomes thorough and the material aspect becomes a shadow. So material life becomes an idea rather than what we perceive as reality. At the stage of prema, the spiritual aspect becomes extremely intense, and the material aspect is completely absent. So one doesn't know there's such a thing as material existence anymore. At the stage of vajra kriya, meditation on the Lord is mixed with other topics and is temporary. So sometimes we might think about Krishna, or even think about Krishna's name, form, quality, and pastimes. But it's not clear. Our minds are not clear, our hearts are not clear, so we don't really see things clearly in our heart or in the remembrance. And it only lasts for some time. At the stage of nishta, meditation on the Lord has a trace of other topics. So at the stage of nishta, one is able to meditate upon Krishna, but there's a little bit of other ideas also. At the stage of ruchi, other topics are absent, and the meditation is long-lasting. So, especially at the stage of ruchi, one is liberated from material conceptions. Stage of sakti, meditation becomes deep. During bhava meditation, the Lord appears in the mind, spurati, spuruti. And during prema, with a special appearance of the Lord in the mind, there is a direct association with the Lord. So that's the different stages of Krishna consciousness, really. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Yes.
Hare Krishna. Thank you much for reminding us for reality. The unsteady devotional practice, anishtita bhajana kriya, you mentioned these six, utsahamayi, ganatarala, and so on. Sometimes they are described as the symptoms. And today you mentioned that they are stages. Are these stages which are followed?
Yeah, of course.
Utsahamayi is the first one. It's progression.
Yeah, of course it's progressive.
Progression?
You don't start from utsahamayi and wind up in a taranga rangini overnight.
Okay.
You have to go through all the other stages. Because they're all distractions from steady devotional service.
So these are stages.
And I mean, steady devotional service in the sense just to do your service. Just like if you trace it backwards, you can see it, Taranga Rangini, you're attending the programs regularly. You hardly ever miss anything. You're always engaged. Your sadhana is more or less on a steady platform. It may not be, you're not free from the laya, shaya, prati, but at least you're doing the service steadily. Therefore, you're at the stage of Taranga Rangini. People think you're advanced. They don't see what you're thinking about when you're doing service. And when you fall asleep, they think you're in trance. But you're there at least. So similarly, niyama akshama, or you know, niyama akshama, you know, you're not there all the time. It's not the same fixity of devotional service. And at the stage of viruta vikalpa, which we trace it back, then you know, you're not. Sometimes you're hardly in devotional service. Well, you're in devotional service, but sometimes you get distracted by other things. You're thinking about renouncing or this and that, so you're distracted. So you're not always so steady in your activities of devotional service, especially Vishaya Sangara. You definitely get distracted into other realms of activities rather than your sadhana sometimes. And what to speak of Taranga Rangini when you use Niyamakshama. No, that's the Niyamakshama, where Gana Tarala, when you're sometimes enthusiastic, sometimes depressed. You can't do devotional service when you're depressed. You're hyper when you're at the stage of Gana Tarala. Sometimes you're hyper and sometimes you're depressed. Sometimes you're overly enthusiastic and get spun out. You do too much, and then you can't do anything. And then what to speak, Otsa Mai, you're just puffed up with enthusiasm. Therefore, Otsa Mai usually leads to Gana Tarala when you become depressed, because not everyone shares your enthusiasm. And they start criticizing you, and you lose your enthusiasm, whatever, and you criticize others, and then you sink into Gana Tarala. And then from the Gana Tarala, you start thinking about sense gratification. And then when you get over that, then you start thinking about, now I'm pretty steady, but what do I really want to do? Do I want to become a pure devotee, or do I want to renounce everything, or whatever? You have no idea. You should be thinking about Krishna, you're just thinking about renunciation or devotional service. And then when you get through with that, then you start thinking about, you become serious about trying to become fixing your sadhana, have the same sadhana every day. And then when you overcome that, then you become steady and then you start accepting praise and adoration and things like that. And then internally you become sometimes purified and sometimes contaminated. And that manifests itself as laya, vikshepa, apratipati, and shaya, arasava. So they're all stages of development.
So during this progress to these stages, you deal with obstacles which are five?
Well, it's not like there's a draw. Clear line that, you know, just demarks the stages. But generally speaking, when people are, in order to advance from one stage to the next, you have to somewhat deal with the obstacles towards nishtha. Because you have to attentively chant the holy name, which is aparad. You have to avoid the aparad, or else you can't make any progress.
And what is connection between the anarthas, four types, and five obstacles that you mentioned?
Yeah. Anarthas and aparads. It's not anarthas, but it's aparads also.
Yeah. What is the relation between the four types of anarthas, which comes from the previous info, and then five obstacles which you mentioned? Laya, Vikshepa, they are connected somehow? They have some relation with?
Well, we know from Madhuri Kandambini that the major thing is, the major aparad that we have to concentrate on, because we don't avoid, for instance, it says seva aparad is usually taken care of by trying to give free from the 10 offenses of chanting the holy name. But if seva aparad becomes whimsical, then it turns into nama aparad. So we concentrate on nama aparad. And in nama aparad, we know that the major thing is inattentiveness. So when we try to pay attention, then it also takes care of these five obstacles, which will, during the aparads, when we're trying to get free from the aparads, these obstacles are what keeps us in the aparad state, because they turn into aparads. If we're engaged in the first one, laya, then obviously we're going to be inattentive. If we engage in the second one, vikshepa, they're all inattentiveness. We're engaged in things like a pratipati, that's also just inattentiveness.
They're all based on
practically inattentiveness. And then we have shaya. These are just giving in to these sinful desires. We'll commit offenses against the devotees, what to speak of. And then we have rasava. These are all mixed in with the material desires, inattentiveness, generally speaking.
Thank you.
Anything else? Thank you very much. Yes, okay, one more. We have our mic here.
Hare Krishna. May I just ask, how come that we get aparadas from pious activities, from previous pious activities?
Well, if you want to enjoy the material world, then you'll become distracted. It's called rasava. By your previous pious activities, you may have got the karma of having 15 apsaras come and visit you from Indraloka. And if you decide, well, there's something, as the mafia says, give them a deal they can't refuse. So you think, I'll take up devotional service after I take care of this business. That's called an artha is due to previous pious activities.
Thank you.
Yes.
Maharaj, since all material concepts are removed at Ruchi, somehow you said, and at Asakti.
Not all of them are removed, but they don't. At the stage of Ruchi, these things don't really bother us very much.
Yeah.
It's like if you had a choice between eating sweet rice and eating a picture of sweet rice, what would you take? Well, some people might take the picture, but we're talking about the normal people.
but what is the remaining cause obstacle not to jump immediately to prana? Then what is?
Because just like you put the iron in the fire, you have to wait till it gets as hot as the fire. Can't jump to becoming as hard as the fire. You have to keep the iron in the fire, and then there's the progress.
But where are we in between? Because it said when everything material is removed, there it stays. There remains what you are, spiritual soul. But all the material concepts are removed. Where are we until prema? And what are we doing?
I can't understand what you're talking about.
No. If everything material is removed, then...
Where? At what stage?
At Ruchi, at Asakti, or there is still, I mean...
No, there's the material desires are still there,
mm-hmm.
but they don't bother one. This body is a machine, and the mind is a machine also. Even our material intelligence and false ego, they're machines by the material nature. They go away gradually, they're programmed. But there's a certain stage when the machine's working, but we're not bothered by it anymore. Because we don't identify with the machine. Prabhupada gives the example of a coconut. In the beginning, the inside of the coconut is attached to the outside. But eventually when it dries out, then it falls off. It's no longer attached to it. So the machine will keep on working as long as we're in the material body and we're not in perfectional stage. But we're not bothered by it anymore. We don't identify with it. Just like you can remember a dream that you had last night. It doesn't bother you. Because it wasn't real. All right. Thank you very much. Karantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.